Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Robertson, also known as Goldfinger, over at CEO.ca. We'll also post a link to where you can follow along with some of Goldfinger's recent articles and his thoughts on the market. But Robert, look, we need to talk, I think, first and foremost about precious metals, because you do have a large following focused on the resource sector as well as the precious metals. And quite frankly, it started more last Thursday, weakness in the stocks and in the metals, and it's continued this week. Even today, we look at gold, and gold is down about $20 on the futures market, down to $18.85. The stocks aren't doing as bad today. They're, for the most part, flat when you look at GDX and GDXJ, but those have given up double-digit percentages just in the last four trading days. Robert, when it comes to gold, where's a floor going to be? Because quite frankly, right now, we are dropping to levels that are pre-Ukraine war and late February timeframe. So we've given up 2 months here of mostly positive price action. What's your takeaway from gold?
Hey, Corey and Shad. Yeah, that's a really interesting point you just made. We're actually under where gold was at the start of the Russian invasion. February, the evening of February 23rd. So it was trading around 1900, low 1900s that night, and we're 1883 right now. So we're down on net from that moment in time a couple months ago. And pretty much all commentators, including myself, have considered the Russia, you know, Ukraine conflict and the resulting sanctions to be a positive for gold overall, and I still believe that is true. However, a multitude of headwinds have also come to fore here, including a much more aggressive hawkish Fed with the expectations of 200 basis points of tightening over the next 3 months. Now we'll see what actually happens, but obviously a very rapid rate hiking cycle and tightening of monetary policy is generally not a bullish factor for precious metals. So yeah, for technically speaking, gold was above 2000 briefly last Monday morning, got rejected yet again at that 2000 psychological round number level. And we've kind of just come straight down, you know, since then. So about $120 down, call it 6% in the last 9 days. It's a pretty sharp drop. This level right around where we're trading now near 1880 is a support level. So we'll see if that holds up. If this breaks, then 1850, and then obviously that 1800 level that we spent so much time at for so many months, it just felt like we just couldn't move away from it. Obviously that's going to be, you know, a big area of really, really key support, you know, for gold.
Well, Robert, you're really good at cutting through the noise and looking at the technicals and looking at those different support and resistance levels. So thank you for sharing some of those support levels. Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to see $1,800 broken either. We were there for, it seemed like $1,800 was a magnet for about 6 months. So I'd love to not get back down that low. But one of the things that seems to be pressuring the precious metals as well as the commodity sector is the king dollar, stronger dollar. It's moved up to 103. Do you think that that is pressuring gold to some degree? I know they can move in tandem and they can move up together in a safe haven bid, but right now it seems like the dollar is pressuring the precious metals. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think that's absolutely spot on. The euro, U.S. dollar is at 105.40. It was as low as 105.15 this morning. That's a multi-year low. I mean, I can't even think back. I'd have to pull up my weekly, monthly charts to see when the last time, you know, we were down there. Is a long time ago. So that's a very low level, especially considering that we, not too long ago, we were trading above 110. So that's a very, very large move in the largest Forex cross on earth. And if you pull up like the daily chart, like the shorter term charts of the dollar and the euro, I mean, this is a waterfall, you know, decline. The euro is just getting killed. And I think that has a lot to do with the divergence in monetary policy between the European Central Bank and the Fed. The Fed is expected to tighten pretty aggressively, and the ECB is expected to stay relatively loose. And so, you know, we could have the Fed funds rate at 2.5% in 3 months, and the European Central Bank will still be much lower, right? So the foreign exchange markets are, you know, reflecting that now. But one has to wonder, is this getting a little overstretched to the downside? And one of the things I look at is sentiment. The daily sentiment index on the dollar index is at 95. So that's pretty extreme. I mean, you know, maybe once a year or once every 2 years, you know, we see that up around 95 or 96. And that's usually a pretty good top. You know, that's going to coincide pretty closely with a top in the dollar. So we'll see if this time proves to, you know, to be the same.
So to your point, Robert, it seems like the markets have shifted focus because the dollar, gold, the safe haven assets were going up when a bit more focus was being put towards the war that is still ongoing in Ukraine. Seems like the markets have, in a way, left that war behind and now are focused simply on monetary policy, which in all fairness was going to be the story for this year anyway. But when it comes to central banks, yeah, the Fed seems to be, and the expectations are for a fairly aggressive rate hiking cycle. It's been probably decades since we saw a rate hiking cycle that the Fed, well, at least the markets think the Fed will undertake. What are you going to be watching to see how the markets are pricing in the Fed rate hiking cycle and if there's any trickle over effect from a lot of the bears out there that say the market, the economy, cannot handle higher rates, even slightly higher rates, they're going to be impacted pretty horribly?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a pretty clear, you know, risk off trade that's taken place the last couple of weeks. If you look at the emerging markets chart, the EEM, I mean, straight down, it's down like 8 sessions in a row, 10 of the last, 11, the dollar's straight up. So it's pretty clear risk off trade. But then obviously gold and silver are being negatively affected by some other factors, including China basically going into a lockdown, shutdown. I mean, I can't even get a clear story on what exactly is happening there. But clearly the Chinese economy is hampered quite a bit. And, you know, if you look at port activity, it's the lowest it's been since February 2020. So that's clearly not a good thing for, you know, resources or, you know, metals. So one of the things I think we need to look at is very close, and for the market's going to be really focused Friday morning, on the inflation readings. I mean, we would want to see inflation start to come down and certainly not come in hot or hotter than expected. That would be just a disaster basically for everything, I think, except for maybe the dollar, because it would just mean the Fed's going to tighten that much more. Right. So, you know, we really want to look at the inflation prints and also how the economy is handling this big move up in rates over such a short period of time. In fact, I wrote an article last week or about 10 days ago about when this happens, it's time to pay attention. And the increase in mortgage rates that we've seen since January, it's over 200 basis points higher in the 30-year fixed rate mortgage. And obviously that's going to have big consequences, big implications for real estate valuations, the affordability of housing for a you know, huge portion of the population. They're going to be priced out of being able to, you know, get that mortgage on that house at this much higher price with what we've seen housing prices do in the last couple of years. So we really want to see how the economy is able to handle all of the adjustments, the big adjustments that have taken place so far in 2022. And if the yield curve moves and the bond yield moves that we've seen so far, you know, year to date, are actually going to slow down inflation and also slow down the economy. And obviously the Fed's going to be watching that closely too. Clearly, they're more worried about inflation right now. But also, I know a few months from now, if the unemployment rate starts to tick up and the PMIs start to come in under 50, and other, you know, data, housing data starts to show things are really rolling over, the Fed's going to get worried about that too. And that will have them maybe do a dovish pivot, which would be kind of the sweet spot for precious metals and mining stocks. It's kind of the time to buy in the last couple of decades has always been when the Fed makes a dovish pivot.
Well, Robert, I was going to ask you about that. I loved the article you wrote that was titled "When This Happens, Time to Pay Attention," because you got into the Treasury yields, you know, the steep increase. You got into the mortgage rates, as you just outlined, the potential pressure to the housing market. Obviously, inflation down as a year-over-year metric. The prices are still quite a bit higher than they were just a year or two ago for most items that people are buying, which is going to impact the consumers. And so to your point, when there is finally enough pain, then the Fed does their pivot and they reliquify the markets. That is the time when it's been ideal to be positioned in the precious metals. So I guess my question is for all those listening that are maybe sitting on maybe some losses in their mining stocks, or maybe they've got cash on the sidelines and they're trying to figure out, when should they deploy it based on how this correction is going? Is that the moment that you would start getting more aggressive in buying, is when they finally do pivot? That's when you maybe jump in with both feet and be more tentative until then? Or how are you handling positioning your portfolio at present?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chad. I mean, honestly, this has been a challenging couple of weeks for me. I've lost money. It's not been a good couple of weeks for sure. Although I will say I'm about 25% cash right now. I kind of wish I had more cash, but, you know, it is what it is. The companies that I still have in my portfolio and that I own, for the most part, are well-funded. They're financed. They don't need to do a private placement in the next few months. That's not a good position to be in this sort of environment. They also have big exploration programs lined up throughout the next several months. Throughout the summer, they've got their, you know, drill crews and their permits all set up. So there's no questions there, and there's going to be news flow for the rest of the year. So those are the kind of situations that I like and that I favor, especially in this sort of risk off weak environment that we find our, you know, that we find ourselves in right now. And yeah, I mean, if you think back to late March 2020, when the Fed took all those extraordinary, measures to combat the pandemic, that was an incredible time to be buying precious metals and mining shares. If we think back to early 2016, when the Fed did another pivot, if we think back to May, June 2019, the Fed did another pivot, those were dovish pivots, and those were times to raise exposure and be more aggressive on the long side in precious metals and mining stocks. And so I don't think this time will be any different. It's just that realistically, we're not going to get a dovish pivot for at least 6 months. Like, honestly, I think that's probably the most optimistic, is the Fed will get some elevation up around 2.5% or 3.3% on the Fed funds, from which they could then pause and then start to hint at a potential easing, right? But we've been at zero for a long time. We've had quantitative easing for a long time. Fed balance sheet is $9 trillion. To think about them easing, you know, anytime soon, I don't think it's going to happen this year. But the market is forward-looking. So maybe, best case, October, November, you know, inflation has cooled off quite a bit. The economy is showing some signs of real weakness. And the Fed hints that, we could in 2023 resume quantitative easing, or we could do a quarter point rate cut, or whatever, you know, it is. And that just that the little hint of that will cause metals and mining shares to go parabolic.
So, Robert, if we need to wait that long for the Fed to switch course, you even said that you're 25% cash. Are you buying stocks right now? Are you still building up cash? Or are you simply sitting and waiting on the positions you have?
I mean, I do a little bit of adjustments here and there, but for the most part, I'm just sitting on the positions I have, because the stocks that I own are the ones that I really like, the ones that I've done the research on, and I really feel comfortable with management and the company's projects. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it doesn't feel like the time to go all in. It doesn't feel like time where I need to raise exposure, but I also don't necessarily want to lower my exposure at this point in time either.
Robert, just maybe one more on resource stocks. I know that you really focus a lot on gold and silver stocks, and you do cover some base metals, though. Are there any base metals sectors that you think, would still be attractive at this point between copper, nickel, zinc, palladium? Is there anything else that has your eye at the present time in the resource sector?
Well, I mean, it really comes down to time frame. I mean, obviously, short term, in terms of days or weeks, we could be looking at lower prices. But bigger picture, secular long-term trends, copper, that fundamental bull market story is not going anywhere. And actually, if you think about it, if you look at the emerging markets charts and the US dollar index charts, and then you say, well, copper is only down 10%. I mean, China, the biggest consumer of copper in the world, is in almost a full lockdown. The dollar is going parabolic to the upside, and the emerging markets charts are falling apart. Normally, you'd think copper would be down 30, 40, 50% in that environment. It's only down 10%. We're still trading 440, 450. That just shows you how strong the long-term trend, the structural bull market for copper is. And so I think that if you are a long-term investor, if you do have dry powder, if you do have capital, that's a good base metal to take a look at.
Robert, what about silver too? Because silver, look, even as it was outperforming gold and the silver stocks were outperforming gold, fact of the matter was it never broke out of this range that it's been in for well over a year now, and now it's starting to trend to the lower part of the range. It's not really in threat of breaking down right now, but again, silver, as encouraging as it was for, it seemed like a short period of time, if you look at the chart all on its own, it's not exciting.
Yeah, silver pretty much sucks. we think back to that little silver squeeze moment in time, January, February 2021, and it's never different this time in silver. It's never different this time. So just buy low, sell high, keep it boring until something really, really changes and we finally get that breakout above $30 an ounce. So, I mean, silver is just pretty much, yeah, it's a precious metal, but it's also an industrial metal. Clearly, it's being affected by the headwinds coming from China. Clearly, this huge bid in the dollar doesn't help the silver price in dollar terms. So buy support around 22, 22.50, sell it up around 26 or 27 if you're a trader. If you're a long-term investor, just keep accumulating at 22, I guess.
Well, Robert, just as we kind of wrap up, I know that you always provide in your articles that you write and to your subscribers some good advice on the psychology around trading and like how to weather the storm, but also how to not get caught in the typical trading traps many people do. And so after several decades of trading, and I know that your father also taught you a lot of tips, are there any things or words of advice that you would tell investors during this time period on the psychological part of trading?
Yeah, I mean, I think three things come to mind today, and these are things I've been trying to work on and meditate on during these last couple of challenging weeks. And I think the first one is, number one, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to engage the market. And actually, sometimes the best move is to step away from the markets and clear your mind and keep your capital and your emotions so you don't lose capital and you don't go through any turmoil, like emotionally, that's not necessary, right? So that's number one, is you can step away. Number two, the number one way that market participants lose money and lose the most is chasing something that's hot, buying a bull market that's at a late stage and in the final few innings of the bull market and overstaying it, right? Think about that. Study charts and don't do that. Don't chase what's hot, what's popular, what they're talking about on financial news. So that's number two. And then, number three is that when it's really time to buy, when it's the best time to buy, we won't want to. We'll never actually want to buy at the best opportunity because the fear and the emotional, the psychological stress of buying at the best possible point in time at the best price will just be too much. And so if we remain cognizant of our psychological weaknesses as human beings and our fear or self-limiting thoughts and conversations that we have, we'll become a little bit better market participants and be able to observe ourselves and others and maybe actually be able to buy at some of those best points in time at very, very good prices where actually the upside is the most and the downside potential is the least, as opposed to what most of us do, and that is buy what's hot at a very high price at a late stage in the cycle when the risk is actually the most and the potential upside is actually the least.
Yeah, well, let's hope we start getting some more upside to some of these markets, right? Because right now, this year, it's been a tough market, and there really are very few hot sectors, I think, because of the fact that it's a very different world out there, financial world, with central banks, including the Fed, going through a tightening process. So we'll see when the higher rates trickle down into the economy and when they trickle down into the market. They already have started to trickle down the market through the weakness we've seen. But yeah, boy, oh boy, it's a very different world than right now. Just in the last four trading days, precious metals investors were very much caught on the wrong foot, unfortunately. Robert, thank you as always for your time, buddy. I love reading over your work. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to having you back on the show. So I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.